5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Today's episode of Storm of Spoilers was recorded live at Con of Thrones on Friday, May 25th in Dallas, Texas.
Hello, everyone. Usually Storm of Spoilers has like good theme music that is full of jokes and stuff, but I left my USB stick at my house in Denver. So we're Storm of Spoilers. We're here to talk about Game of Thrones. We will not be spoiling anything for you today if you're new and have no idea what we do. It's a play on the Storm of Swords book name. We're not actually here to ruin your fun. But we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones otherwise.
Not entirely.
Enriching, I thought.
We are enriching.
Yeah.
We are enriching and not spoiling. Also, parental advisory warning for language, which I forgot to do before our first panel.
Can we... Round of applause, like, who actually listens to the Storm of Spoilers podcast? Guys.
A few of you, yeah.
Guys, hi.
Good. So this will be a shorter than usual friendly chat for all of you, since we only have an hour.
We always try to promise David's going to be an hour. He's like, yeah.
And it's never an hour.
I knew it, yeah.
Or even times where I'm like, you know, we can make this a really clean 40 minutes, then like 80 minutes later, I'm like, I should stop hoping. So we thought we would talk about last year when we came. We happened to know a ton of what was going to happen in the season because there had been production spoilers, Reddit spoilers, and because of the name of our podcast and the nature of what we do, we digested all of it and then we're like, oh no, we can't talk about this now.
We know everything.
So it was interesting coming last year, and I thought we should kind of revisit what it was like in that experience as somebody that's been saying personally that it's about execution, not necessarily about knowing the facts of what happens when. Let's start with Neil. Neil, was last season better or worse knowing absolutely everything?
The first time it was worse, but I recently rewatched it, season 7, and it flies by and it's better than I thought it was. Like, there's better moments in season 7 than I thought.
So you think it was, like, worse when because you were, like, waiting for certain
things
to happen?
Well, I think you do. We get into this scenario in which you just get beaten over the head with Game of Thrones as it's going on. And the fact that we knew everything and we were, like, stressing about splitting it up and not blowing it in one segment. And so we spent so long doing that. And then when it finally happened, it was like, I just can't take this show anymore. Like, I want to murder everyone on this show. Yeah.
With love.
You guys know? Some of these guys know.
I should
welcome
say,
to the Game of Thrones convention.
I should say that last year at the con is where the idea of the Calm and Storm section was born, in a hotel room at the convention where I was like, we need to protect the people who need protecting. And Dave was like, no.
Yeah.
make it rain. And so I was
you guys
like,
are so lucky Joanna won.
once again, show of applause. Who went into the storm with us last year?
Maybe I should have won.
And who stayed in the calm?
Okay, fair, fine.
I think that's a good system.
I just want people to like me.
Everyone likes you, Dave.
Okay, good. It's working.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like you.
Neil, can you run down, like, remind us everything that we knew?
It's funny, yes, I wrote those down.
Wow.
So some of the things that we knew about by this time last year, before the...
This time last year, yeah.
And that was before it aired, right?
Simultaneously, a little bit? Yeah, before.
When was Con of Thrones last year? I don't remember. Yeah, okay, so we knew this when we were sitting on the stage last year. Yeah. We knew about that there was going to be a dragon that didn't make it through the end of the season.
R.I.P. Dragon.
R.I.P.
Oh, yeah, and Dave interviewed someone out on the convention. Do you want to tell that story?
Yeah, so if you go back and listen to our live show from last year, I was interviewing people about things that they wanted to happen in the season, and I ended up only using one clip because a gentleman and his partner were at a panel, and he was like, oh, you know, I'd really like to see, like, a dragon die, and she was like, if that happens, you've spoiled it for me, and I'm going to hate this show. And I was like,
Dave's like, got it.
And click. So that's forever in the RSS feed. Sorry about that, you person who got that spoiled for them accidentally through speculation.
Wait, yes. I mean, through guessing. He guessed right.
Well, and then also there was a couple other people at the con that you know had
they
been reading the same things we were doing. So it would be weird to be, like, in a panel and, like, anything that came up about, like, the dragons, people just, like, start hissing through their teeth. And we'd all have to be very careful about talking about
it. I'm so glad we don't have to do that this year.
Yeah.
So we knew about dragon death. We knew about L-boat sex.
L-boat sex.
Very important. We knew about the dragon pit sequence. We didn't know all the particulars, but we knew who was where.
The players.
Yeah, we knew about the hunt for the white.
Yeah.
For the wall. Mm-hmm. We knew about how Littlefinger's game ended.
Mm-hmm. So the interesting thing is we knew all, like, these huge major plot points. And in my mind, before it started, I'm like, these can't be true because these people can't travel Westeros that fast.
Right.
Silly me. I thought that mattered. It doesn't.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah. We also knew about the Euron-Cersei convergence.
Yeah. Guys, we knew everything. Because you listened to the podcast.
And you know what? And the last one is the most important one, because we knew about Lady Olenna and that she didn't make it, which was sad, but this really does sort of shore up the point that we've been talking about for so long, which is execution versus just knowing something, because that scene is amazing, and it's the way that it's acted, it's the way that the scene is executed. The fact that we knew that she was going to die really didn't matter. It's how she died that mattered.
Right.
So I think that is maybe one of the most glaring things. It's like, it's fine to know what's going on.
I think we even knew how she was going to do it, but I don't think we knew how Dame Diana Rigg was going to do
it.
And we should not have underestimated.
Never doubt her.
Dame Diana Rigg. So.
I'm not even doubting any of the Lady Olenna's in cosplay. Just never doubt any Olenna-related stuff.
Yeah.
That's true. And then so it's kind of like putting a puzzle together upside down and then flipping it over and, you know, expecting to see a picture, but then, like, sort of also being psyched about it. I don't know. I thought going into it, and then maybe right after it, because it's interesting, Neil, you're right, it does sort of change on a rewatch how much my idea of complete spoiling is. So, like, going in, I was like, these are the things. 2 episodes into the season, I'm like, oh, these are going to be all of the things. It's completely spoiled. And then, like, doing part of my job or part of all of our jobs and, like, starting to pre-write some stuff. And then as the season was going on, having to go back and realizing how minute changes in how I translate a written idea and then how the show translates a written idea really sort of hammered home that there's a reason they're the professionals and we're the media critics. So it was a very interesting way to sort of test my own spoiler resolve going forward. And apparently, there's stuff out there for this season, and I don't know if I'm going to do it.
Apparently. I found this out, like, an hour ago.
I knew. We're not going to talk about that. We said we're not going to talk about it. We're not going to talk about it. They don't know about it. You guys know me. I'm not going to ruin it. But but it's there. It's out there. I guess I'm just going to keep asking the crowd questions and ask you, does anyone, like, show of applause, does anyone regret going into the storm with us?
No.
Oh, yes. That's the best silent standing ovation I've ever gotten.
And thank you for coming out. We've now solved it.
Yeah.
Oh, so you enjoy listening to a podcast with Storm Spoilers. I've heard from some people say, like, I think I'm going to keep it to the com for the final season or something like that, and I have no issue with that. Did anyone listen to the com and then go back and listen to the storm?
Yeah. All right.
That must be a weird,
disorienting experience, yeah.
Yeah. That's, yeah. I mean, because we got some stuff wrong still.
Us? Never.
No, what are you talking about? No.
Like, the royal we. Got some stuff.
The royal us got some stuff wrong.
I got some stuff wrong. It's fun.
So outside of taking stock of our podcast, we've come up with some interesting questions that we thought we'd toss around. Neil.
Yeah, so we're going
to... This is your section called Interesting Questions.
We talked about this before. Neil
we talked
Miller.
About this already. Remember we told the story about the guy who guessed right?
Yes.
And totally spoiled it? We're going to do that.
Yeah.
Well...
none of these questions are going to trigger anything that I might know that might be right.
Yeah, so these are questions are carefully crafted to ensure that we don't actually spoil anything that we know.
I love we're telling like a crowd of people who like show up mostly, yeah. show up for spoilers.
They're like, just tell us already.
Wait till you get to the point where we explain what Rotten Tomatoes is. That's coming up.
Like, yeah.
This is usually the part where I start hitting the 30 seconds forward button. okay, so I call this game, it has two names. It is the many-faced game. It's either a podcast knows nothing but, or the game of reckless predictions. So, the first question on this list is, what is the over-under on how many Starks will survive season 8? Because we have, let's count how many Starks we have left. We just went through all the Starks in our last panel, so it's Arya, Sansa, Jon.
Technically.
Bran-ish.
Jon-ish, then.
Jon-ish, yeah.
Everything,
Bran-ish.
Kind of a couple issues in there.
So it's just the four. And they are among sort of George's, like, closely held...
The children, George's children.
We're not talking about the fetus anymore today. We had enough trouble with that one in the last panel. So over under.
I don't know. We're doing a most consequential death panel later, so the fetus might come up.
The fetus might come back. I'm going to set the line at 2. So do you think it's going to be more than 2 or less than 2?
Less than.
Less than 2. Oh, man. I didn't think we'd both agree. But yeah, there's got to be just like... The last season's got to be full of horrible, gut-wrenching moments where we see people that we like die. I think that's just effective television. We've all been doing it for years and years. We've been building these emotional attachments, and it's going to right at the heart.
I say 1 or 0.
Whoa.
I don't know if I'm going to go that far.
I'm going to take the over because despite everything I said this morning, I believe in the Starks.
You're like... They just got really dark around the Red Wedding, and the rest is ascendant.
The rest Starks is ascendant. We're gonna end the season with 5 Starks.
You brought it back to the fetus.
Freaking fetus again. Damn it. All right, next question. If you could pick one character and give them Valyrian plot armor for season 8, who would it be? Which means, obviously, they survive. You guys get
Wait,
it.
What if we try to guess each other's?
Well, I mean, that's not fair to
it's
me.
It's really easy, isn't it?
It's Tormund.
It's harder for him.
It's Jorah.
Wait, who do I really want, or who do I just think would be hilarious?
I don't know.
I would love Robin Arryn! Just like the one character, I like the idea of like, well, I mean, obviously they're kind of like setting Sam up to like write the book, the Game of Thrones book at the end for the Maesters. But I also like the idea of like Robin Arryn was like the Forrest Gump of... this whole saga. He's like, and I was there.
He meets Daenerys and he's like, I have to pee.
Yeah.
I feel like this is like eerie brand strong for you because you lost your champion, which is Littlefinger.
Yes.
And you're like, well, Robin Arryn, that's close.
I had to argue like a whole bunch of little, you know what? Yes. Something that Littlefinger did should have like a lasting impact, and if Robin Arryn's that, I'm okay with that. That means I'm pro Robin Arryn.
All right.
I think you're the only one who's okay with that.
That's okay.
All right, next question. What is the percent chance that Bran will have a pivotal role in the final battles, or is he just an exposition machine?
I was told there would be no math.
Just, it's 1 to 100.
Okay.
How likely is it? 100 being no. He rides a dragon literally.
I want that for him. You picture him on the dragon soaring around?
How does he stay on?
With a saddle made by Tyrion?
No, how does he stay on? There we go, the Tyrion saddle.
We did like a whole like,
and
episode about
and Mira will be like, motherfucker, I did that first.
You didn't even say thank you.
Bran's going to do something. He wargs into the Night King and becomes the Night King.
80% chance? How strongly do you feel about this?
90.
I'm going to say 40% chance he does something interesting. I think he's plot, he's flashback.
Interesting. I just said consequential.
I'm going lower than just interesting, so like 10% consequential. I really think he's exposition machine.
Yeah, I'm going with like 2%. There's a 2% chance that Bran is useful.
This is the second panel in a row that Bran Stark got no respect.
I picked all of Bran.
He knows
in the last panel
everything.
But I don't.
He just can't recall it all the time.
You know what it is? The show ran into this problem that George doesn't have with the books. George can just write what happened before, and it,
the show can do that. They just decided not
to. The show is like, we need a vehicle.
No, they just, like, that's a choice they made.
Yeah.
They were like, we're not going to do flashbacks. We're not going to
We're going to do
some flashbacks.
So I think that's it. He's just doing flashbacks from here on out. All right, next big, speaking of George, on a scale of 1 to 5, with 5, or with 1 being hasn't started yet, and 5 being the publisher could release it tomorrow if they wanted to, how done is The Winds of Winter? Minus 12. Nice.
Minus 12. It's Burn actively off. Eating dance right now.
Yeah, 1 to 5.
The pages are just like vanishing before our eyes. It's like Back to the Future.
Yeah, it's a bad Back to the Future. It's like flipping through and like, all the adverbs are gone.
I'm gonna give George 3. I'm gonna give him 3.
Right down the middle.
2. Probably. 2. I just feel like...
Here's the deal. I think 3 with, like, him being like, oh, fuck that chapter. You know, like, he's rewriting.
There was that rumor that that somebody had suggested breaking it into 2 parts, and he's like, no, that makes me think it's not, like, that first part isn't even there.
It's not even a rumor. Like, he said his publisher asked him to split into 2, like he did for Feast and Dance, and he was like, no, I'm good.
Yeah, so that sounds to me like that first part isn't even finished.
Because you think he would publish the first
Because
part?
When has George R. R. Martin been like, less money, please?
It's true. He
I wouldn't do that.
A show called movie called The Ice Dragon.
He's right after down. The finish of the damn books, George panel is like a lot of burn on
George.
A lot
George of George.
For this
I'm
thing that's
defend
built around
George.
Him. Yeah.
I'm going 5 for a couple of reasons. 1.
Neil.
Yeah.
No, I like this.
Yeah, I'm going 5.
He has, like, said. It's
no, no,
not,
no.
Okay.
Here's the thing. First of all, George is an unreliable narrator. We all know that. Second of all, the reason why his publisher wanted to split it in 2 is because they have all of it. And they're like, we can't put this in 1 book. It's too much.
Oh, yeah, like the Lord of the
Rings.
So that's
how they know. And I can't wait for us to find out in like 10 years that he was done, like maybe in the middle of season 7. And they were just like, no, we're going to hold it and make it a thing after the show. And
making it a thing is legit.
Like, I think he's going to do it just to mess with HBO, just to be like, right as season 8 finale is going, he's just going to drop the book like that week.
I think you guys are failing to appreciate how much bullshit George has to put up with from people being like, finish the books. I mean, like, yeah, we all want the books done. Like, he's not going to put himself through that. We talked about this last year.
No, I think he's laughing at us. He's like, you guys know that's how he laughs. All right, moving on. So, yeah, I'm 5. I think it's done. It's been done. I said it was done last year.
You're like team Martin Troll.
You've been saying it for like 3 years.
I know. It's on brand. It's very consistent. Okay, next one. This is actually a very hard one. Your favorite theory to which there still isn't an answer. And I'm going to give you an example. And I'm going to tell you mine. Mine is that Tyrion is a Targaryen. Because we still don't have answers on that. It makes total sense. Except the whole 3 heads of the dragon thing is sort of out the window now.
So I think Tyrion's we just got like a boo from a Rhaegar in the audience who's like, no. That dude don't belong
Him,
to me.
Tyrion being the My Mad family. King's bastard. Well, not... Well, I don't know if it's a bastard. He's out of wedlock for sure. Tyrion being a Targaryen, I think, is still very interesting.
You're
and
besmirching like Joanna Lannister? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, Tywin sucked. Like, as a husband, I'm sure. See? Right back there.
Yeah, yeah.
He was good at, like, making money, but not good at like being around for the family.
Tywin Lannister.
So that's
notorious
mine.
Family man.
Yeah.
Justice for Joanna.
Joanna, what's your favorite theory that still has not been answered?
Okay, so here the answer is the Valonqar theory, but it's what I'm rooting for is it for it to surprise us in some way, and I think that's just hopeless at this point because, like with R plus L equals J, it's just sort of like, we all knew. Certainly, like, George didn't anticipate that we all knew. You know, he was like, I got a great twist. And then
he
the
thought he was being clever, and the internet's like, nope.
He was being clever, but the internet, like, there's a great piece on, I think it's Vox.com, which, like, Sue and a bunch of other people were interviewed for, where it's sort of like how the internet crowdsource solved R plus L equals J. Like way early in the era of the internet, the Reddit detective, like before Reddit detectives, you know what I mean? So like, I feel bad for George because I do think it was like a clever twist and blah, blah, blah. But at this point, all the theories have been chewed over so much so that if like Jaime kills Cersei or Tyrion kills Cersei, we won't be surprised. So I want there to be like some, I love prophecy wordplay and like a clever twist that you didn't think of and something like that. So
let me ask you this. Is Arya in a Tyrion mask enough?
It's like close.
Because that could be fun.
Yeah.
She kills Tyrion and uses his face to kill Cersei.
But also my ultimate twist wish reveal is that Cersei survives for some reason.
Oh.
Yeah, so for the record, all the Starks are dead. Cersei's still alive. That's the ending of Game of Thrones. All right, Dave.
Wow.
I know.
Man, that's hard. I mean, I kind of want... I would like, because I'm a stupid nerd, like more clarification on exactly how the prince who was promised prophecy is coming true as either a gender neutral or as a two-person thing. Like, I don't know necessarily how to do that. I think Bran flashbacking might be good because we missed a lot of what I like, which is like, you know, I don't know. I'll go back to Lord of the Rings. You read Lord of the Rings, you get the plot. When you reread Lord of the Rings, you actually read the songs and you realize they're good. I feel like the show needs to do a little bit, go back and rereading the songs.
Deep.
Yeah.
Real deep.
That's a good way to... I mean, my other theory is I would also like Arya to wear Robin Aaron's face to get on the Iron Throne. I think that would be nice.
So then everybody wins.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to ask you... this is one of the deeper questions that I came up with since you took it there. True or false, The Night King speaks a line of dialogue.
False.
Do flashbacks count?
Sure. The Night King or his previous human form, which is probably a Stark.
Oh, man, then I just
yes
basically...
And, yes, and flashback.
Against, yeah, I argued against myself. I want
look
more
for
flashbacks.
The loopholes, Dave. Look for the loopholes. Yes and flashback.
Yeah,
yes and flashback. Yeah. I'm going false. I think he's. I don't think we're ever going to understand what the Night King's all about except for death.
He's just like complete symbol.
Yeah. Well, Bran will try and explain it, but he's just here for.
No. What will be really fun is Sam will explain. Bran will just see it.
Right.
And then
Bran
Sam
will be like, I saw
we'll
this thing,
like, yeah.
And Sam will be like, I read that in a book.
Yeah.
It's like, how did you guys not figure this out
and
a long
Gilly's
time
like,
ago?
Actually, I read it in a book.
All right. So next, where physically, what physical place in Westeros will the season's most consequential or depressing death occur? I'll start. I
forgot
start.
That we wrote this question.
Yeah, it's a good question. So
I'm
good, we're going to have to spend some time talking about it.
Inside Winterfell.
Inside.
Which means that it won't come on a battlefield. It won't be in a dragon pit. It will be in the halls of Winterfell, and it will be a betrayal of some kind.
Like a quiet, cheesier aunt?
Something like that. Yeah. Wouldn't that be messed up if, like, Sam's like, hey, by the way, she's your aunt, and John just turns around and kills her?
What?
You'd be like,
come back from that.
They
I
are
did.
Not messing around this season.
John just sets a bar. He's like, you know what? Why can't everybody just be like me?
I'm going to go on the throne.
Oh, like in the throne room. On
yeah.
Ooh.
Dead Wait, body on the throne.
Oh, like someone gets to the throne and then dies from their wounds?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's good.
Ooh.
Damn.
That makes me feel like when they Lost was going and they kept saying, like, the last image of Lost is going to make it come full circle. And I'm like, what could that possibly... It was an eye. But a person
spoiler,
like dying...
Spoiler for the end of Lost.
That's also the first shot, guys, so maybe not a spoiler. But like maybe like the somebody dying on the throne, would that be the very end consequential death? Or would it be like what we were talking about where there's a false end to the season and then there's the fallout?
Oh, you're bringing back to Lord of the Rings. Okay.
Yes, back to Lord of the
it's
Rings.
It's going to have 17 endings like Lord of the Rings.
All the Starks are dead. Cersei's still alive. Daenerys dies on the throne.
On the throne. Giving birth.
Yeah, to the
fetus triplets.
That was promised. The dragon has three heads
the
all
has
at
three
once.
Heads. What, no,
and we end
once.
With
that's not a
seven
that's
Starks.
A
glad he took the over on the Starks.
Where do I want the most consequential death to take place? Both your answers are good.
Because in the Erie?
The Erie, I was going to say. It's the Erie, right?
No, because everyone there is going to live.
Right, but like Robin Aaron could push a whole bunch of people out the moon door, right?
He could. He could push a whole bunch of people out the moon door. Yeah.
And I just want everybody to know.
Just like all the Starks at once out the moon door.
I'm bored. Yeah. Line up everyone.
Yeah. I need to say this. These guys know. If it happens in Dorne, I'm not watching any of the spinoffs. I'm boycotting Game of Thrones forever. Because that will be the ultimate stab to me.
Who do you care that would die in Dorne? Like,
no, like if the final battle is like in Dorne.
Oh, and they do like a Batman v Superman, just destroy Dorne?
Yeah.
Yeah, just like raise
Dorne. Hell no, I'm not here for that.
All right.
That'd actually kind of be funny. It'd be like, Neil almost made it through all of Game of Thrones.
And then the final battle in the fifth episode.
He had a podcast about it. He wrote about his website for it. He would spend hours and then
And he refuses to watch the finale.
Yep. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Storm of Spoilers. Neil is not here. He no longer watches the show.
Did you come up with a place?
No, I was thinking out loud.
We're sorry for you, buddy.
No. I mean, I have a thought, which is that I wanted to be at the Trident, but obviously because we haven't seen like initial things,
we won't know what it is. Unless
we won't
they
know.
Put
we
up
won't know why it's important
across the screen.
Or then like you have to set up a whole flashback thing and show why it's important, and then immediately have
they
the death
do love
happen.
Overhead shots. If they did an overhead shot of like two rivers coming together slowly.
No,
we probably still wouldn't get it.
We're going to see, like, that's a flashback I want, is, like, rubies falling into the Trident, right?
Yeah.
But then, like, yeah, then they're going to go back again, and we're going to have to be like, I think that's the same tree formation where we saw Rhaegar's.
Is that the
Trident?
Is that a log, or is that Lady Stoneheart?
Yeah.
So I think it's probably more likely that we are going to see something either in Winterfell or in King's Landing, and I'm going to say Dragon Pit so people can just, like, die there. I feel like there was some wasted potential in a huge dragon pit coliseum. That would be a place for a consequential death.
That would be.
What about like, I don't know, someone with like a ginger beard on like a wall that's collapsing. Yeah, and it's like crumbling out beneath his feet, and there's no physical way he could possibly make it to safety.
You're saying he somehow just like teleports the dragon pit where I get to see him die?
Yeah.
All right.
And it looks like nothing to me. Okay, next question. Moving on from that subject. In George R. R. Martin's original story plan, there was a love triangle between Jon and Arya. I know, gross. And Tyrion. Also weird. Here's the question. Will the show have their direwolf's bone instead? Nymerian Ghost. Is that going to be the end?
I would love it if we didn't see Ghost for a whole season, and then first season back, he's like, direwolf sex. And not only that, they're huge. It'd be like horses. It'd be like that scene in Silicon Valley, just with direwolves.
I'm team Elwolf sex.
Elwolf sex.
All right, and then I have a question related to that. I'm not sure why.
Wait, Neil, what do you think? Are you gonna let wolves have sex?
Oh, wolf sex for
wolf
sure.
Sex?
Okay, okay, good.
If we can get him on a boat, that's even better. And it'll still have Tyrion being like,
everybody's getting laid on this boat but me.
This is the second time this has happened. It's very frustrating.
Every time I go on this boat. All right.
If I wasn't Arya in a mask, I'd be really mad. All right, I'm gonna give you four options, and you have to tell me what are we most likely to see before the end of Game of Thrones, the TV show. And here are your four options: baby dragons, which would also be a little incesty.
No, not necessarily. You could reheat some eggs that are hanging out somewhere else.
Reheat, just fire up the egg timer.
Nuke some eggs, yeah.
So baby dragons, baby direwolves, ice spiders as big as hounds. You cheered a little too early. The fourth one is Undead Hodor. You're welcome.
Gain the audience, lose the audience.
That's my role here.
I would love me some Undead Hodor.
That's on brand.
Yeah, that's
on brand.
That's
for
super
what you want.
Sad,
yeah.
But like also like the kind of sad where I'm like, like.
But
five
you know
years,
that I tempted 2025, you with ice
Avengers 7. I'm like, yeah, remember Undead Hodor though? That would be my jam.
I'm just picking one.
Yeah, you have to pick one.
Ice spiders as big as hounds.
As big as hounds. That is something you, if you plant, you should really deliver on.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't make a liar out of old Nan.
Don't make a liar of old Nan. She's like Lady Olenna. Just never doubt. Not true. I'm going with baby dragons because I think that would be an interesting way for, like, you know, maybe some of the dragon people don't make it, but maybe the dragons do.
Mm.
And then it's like Arya walks by and like picks one up and is like, "You're mine now."
Oh, interesting.
You're giving Arya a dragon?
Sure, why not?
Okay.
Everybody keeps trying to give Bran a dragon.
What about
that
Arya?
Guy sucks.
What about Arya and a dragon face?
Arya and dragon face.
Yeah.
We don't know how that magic works. She was as tall as Walder Frey like 5 minutes ago.
Arya and a dragon face. Okay.
All right, this one I think is really just for Dave.
Okay.
Is this our last one?
No, the second to last one.
Okay. Because we don't have time for questions.
Yes. Dave, which religion is right?
Which religion is right? I'm going to have
this
to...
This is how I destroy the last 18 minutes of our show.
Can I just give the background really quickly? I don't think we've talked about this on the podcast. Oh, yeah. When we were brainstorming great debate questions, like, you know, best dark, most consequential death, blah, blah, blah. Dave's like, what about which religion is right? We're like, we're not doing that one.
No way.
First problem, I didn't say which Game of Thrones religion, so yeah. I was just opening a door nobody had to open.
No, and Dave's like, well, maybe I'll just stand outside the hotel.
With a sign that says, which religion is right?
Yeah.
That's like the dumb, like, you know, stupid opinion, prove me wrong things. They just be like, which religion is right? The Lord of Light forever. Prove me wrong.
Could happen tonight, I'm just saying. Yeah.
People be in the Con of Thrones app like, guys, the one at the Grassy Knoll was the best one. It was all about religion.
Yeah, yeah. No, you guys or the other thing that's going to happen is you're going to be at, like, another con thing, and then from, like, another room you're going to hear, which religion is right? And then you know that I'm on my shit again. That's the way it goes. But no, I think the Lord of Light is really interesting both as, a conscious force in what's happening. That's something else that I'd like to be enlightened on, but probably won't. And so I think at the end of the season is actually going to have a better, we're going to have a better time to have a which religion is right debate. Because I think then we'll have all the evidence.
We're going to have the facts.
What a tease. Stay tuned. Next year at the con, we will be having...
Next year at the con, I will tell you which religion is right.
Let me ask you this, Dave. How frustrated would you be if we got to the end of season 8 and
architect shows up and he's like, remainder.
And it, like, pans out and it's just Sam's account of what happened and it's not, like, what actually happened. So it's like an unreliable maester wrote the story that we watched, but we're not entirely sure that that's exactly what happened.
So it's like it pulls out and Sam's like, somebody won the Game of Thrones,
like it's,
and shuts the book and Benjen's like, good job, son. And you're like, right. What?
Yeah. It's like, and we find out that like Jon Snow was the hero just because he was Sam's friend.
Yeah.
But he really kind of sucked.
Oh, that's cute. You made him come back to life in your version. That's adorable, Sam. And what, he's got a white dog? Aww.
Oh my god, and his butt looks really good in your story.
That paragraph of butt descriptions is really, really
on
worth
point.
It. Let's put this in all the schools, Sam. You wrote the history of the land.
I have a question for Dave. What if the gods of Westeros are all the same god? And Essos. And all of it. It's the all god brand theory.
So like every religion is kind of right.
Every religion is kind of right?
Every god is Bran.
It's all Bran.
Yeah.
I fully support this.
I like what that says.
I mean,
about...
that goes back to Bran is Rolor, which is a very popular theory.
Oh, yeah, Bran is Rolor. Yeah.
And the Night King.
I like
He's
that
just fighting
idea.
Himself.
I like that idea thematically because I like that theme in life.
Yeah.
So if the fiction is going to say, listen, you're all drawing from a god force, why are you burning people? Just because somebody, you know, who says she's a priestess is telling you to do it. That might make me think, you know, better about it as a thematic choice, although what I really want the answer is can one of the seven create smoke babies and we just nobody connected those dots, because we've seen some evidence of godlike magic. So that would be my question at the end of it, but that's a good debatable question because that's a good general question about
for
religion.
For next year.
Yeah, well, we're going to get the Which Religion
Which
is
religion
Right
is
panel.
Which Religion is
Right
panel. I'm dooming all of you.
Not this year, though. All right, one last question. It's a simple yes or no. This is for all my truthers. You guys know who you are. We know, because Arya told us, that the North remembers. But does she still remember?
She may not speak, but she remembers.
But she remembers. So is Lady Stoneheart still in play? That's a better way to phrase that.
No, Neil.
Come on. Percentage chance.
Okay, if it becomes the sort of show that's like, this is what the people want to see, I'm going to throw it in the last episode, then you have like an okay chance. I just don't want it to do that.
If it's doing that, right? If the show becomes, give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Jorah lives. Bran and Jaime have sex.
Robin Aaron's the king.
Lady Stoneheart comes back.
Do you think if Lady Stoneheart came back at the end of season 8, she would be on... She would be like a revolutionary figure against John. Like, if John won, she would still be pissed at John because she hated him in life.
She remembers.
She remembers she not remembers. Liking John.
Yeah. Yeah.
But at this point, like, who does... Like, wouldn't it just... Since all the Frey males are dead, we just want a zombie cat, like, killing little girls?
Why little girls?
Because that's all the Freys that are left.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even think...
Yeah.
So you're like... Damn. Well, they've held her off long enough to make her a murderess for purely children, and now's the time.
But what if she assembles all the Frey girls and leads them like an army against someone else? John,
that is a fantastic
probably.
Show that is not
your
the
spin-off?
Show.
Is that your spinoff
it's
idea?
Lady Stoneheart and the Frey girls.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
Well, no, when the Night King wins,
yeah,
she's the only one left. And it's Lady Stoneheart and the Frey girls versus the Night King. That's your spinoff.
Great.
You're welcome, HBO.
Can we have a microphone brought out for questions from the
we're
audience?
Yeah, we're going to do questions. We
were told.
I heard okay, rumbling. Thanks.
Sorry.
I could also get don't down run. And be a roving, shuttling person.
He really wanted to do this last year.
All right, that's true.
Oh. Here's the microphone that we're going to direct you to. And I'm going to go back on stage.
All right,
guys, come ask us questions.
Questions, comments?
But whatever you want.
I mean, not too many comments, but questions for sure.
Lauren.
Hello.
Excellent shirt.
Thank you. I wonder where it came from.
Mm.
Yeah.
So, percentage chance, will we or will we not have Clegane Bowl?
Ooh. A favorite. The Clegane Bowl, the jerseys. There you are.
Yes, Clegane Bowl jerseys.
I've been talking about you guys all day. Those things rule. percentage chance on the Clegane Bowl?
90.
104.
100.
Yeah.
You know how I was like off Clegane Bowl?
Yeah,
I'm
you're back on Clegane Bowl. We're back on Clegane Bowl.
Not like necessarily like... Exactly, maybe the way that we thought it would happen, but like that the Cleganes do battle. Yes, that is the show that HBO is making now.
Yeah,
it's going to give us the Cleganes fighting each other.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I was with you. I was off the Clegane Bowl until they met again, and the Hound was like, "You know what's
and they're
coming?
They're like, yeah.
You know what's happening." Yeah. So yeah, I'm there.
Hi. Who do you think gets to swing Heartsbane? Does it get given to a new owner?
Where is Heartsbane?
Do you think it's the Hound? Sam Tarly has it.
Sam's going to give it to Bran, because everyone seems to want to give Bran a weapon. Bran's going to be like, I still don't need a weapon. And he's going to give it to the dragon.
Arya with the dragon face?
I think he's going to give it to Tormund.
Yeah.
And ooh. Tormund and Brienne are going to use their Valyrian steel swords.
Okay, so here's
Westeros and then have
here's
sex.
How it should go.
Jaime Arne has one. No, he doesn't. Does he? Yes, he does.
He does.
He has his dead son sword. So, you know.
But it's like sad because it's his dead son.
I think it should definitely be like one of those things where Sam keeps it and he's just bad at it and bad at it and bad at it. And then at some point the battle turns and he's like, here, and tosses it. And it just goes between like five people who just need it.
Nice.
Because there's not enough dragon
isn't there, glass. Isn't that in Lord of the Rings too, where they like pass around
look,
an axe
I want
or
it to be Lord of the Rings.
I have my answer.
Go.
It's Podrick Payne.
Oh.
Oh.
He hasn't been training for nothing, has he? He's going to Neville Longbottom that shit, so...
No, I like that one. That's a good one. Yes, hi.
Hi. So at this point, Game of Thrones is like a decade-defining show. It started in 2011. It's going to end 2019. What ideas do you think studios have already taken from the show? What do you think, how do you think TV is going to change after Game of Thrones ends?
That's a great question.
That's a really
good
question.
That is a good question. I mean, dragons, for sure. Is Ian McShane pretty much summed it up. He's like, just make a show with tits and dragons, it's fine.
Everyone has been the same was true when Lost was on, that like everyone was chasing like that. What's the next Lost? It's not Westworld. Everyone's chasing like what's the next Game of Thrones. And so you were seeing, and it's fun for us book nerds, because you're seeing a lot of fun literary series be adapted. So they're like, maybe it's Neil Gaiman's American Gods, maybe it's King Killer Chronicles, maybe it's Outlander. They're like, we don't quite know. They're all like circling. So I think that's what's significantly changed in TV, is we're seeing adaptations of these big, like epic book series. So TV networks can have that built-in passionate readership audience like already in play. What will they take?
We know what Game of Thrones is learning, which is just more Game of Thrones.
Yes, more of the same.
True.
HBO is like, just
I think that
more.
Even though TV is sort of cyclical, I do think we'll never find ourselves in ghettoized fantasy anymore. Like, if you make a fantasy show, it used to be like, oh, this is like a Xena or a Hercules. Like, no one wants to see
great
Kevin
shows.
Sorbo. I mean, they're great shows, but they're like, you know what I'm talking about.
Fantastic shows.
When this was shot as a pilot, everybody was like, here comes this weird fantasy with wigs thing. No one's going to be into it. I don't think that'll ever happen again. Like, the whole...
It's just like, I can't even imagine making a disappointing Star Wars movie or something.
Well, it's like, if you think about HBO shows that have like... Wait, here we go. Wait. Now we're in the order of how much we like Solo, with Joanna liking it and me being on the other side of Neil.
This never happens.
Yeah.
Okay. But like I think that trying to pull something like an adaptation thing, which I do think they're trying to do now, but I don't think they're going to find that that's a sustainable model for television. Because there's just not people writing good books in that amount, I don't think, that are willing to sell their story away necessarily like George did in the middle. And then the other ones, you're adapting a full thing, which I think is a completely different beast. But I do think if we learn something like The Sopranos, sort of taking the first decade, I would say, is like a really... the first decade of this millennium is a very influential show. What we learned about that is we had to spend 15 years before we were allowed to have real heroes and not anti-heroes again. So I'm hoping that, there's going to be a little choppiness of, failed fantasy book adaptation series. But when we do loop back around to it, it won't be a foreign idea, just like anti-hero now isn't a foreign idea.
I think the other thing that has been lifted from Thrones is, like, killing everyone you love. I can't think of, like, a major studio film this year that would have done something like that. But...
Nothing comes to mind.
But, it's a thing, it's a thing.
But
that
you have to kill with consequences, which I think is one of the things that Game of Thrones has been really good. They saved resurrection to the end.
Yeah.
They held on to it when they could have done better.
Well,
with
the nice thing
Lady
is
Stoneheart.
I don't feel like they could have done like a series of crazy resurrections in a row, because they had Stoneheart in their pocket at that point.
Right.
And it's still like story-wise. And
so
I'm
they
glad
kept it in their pocket, and... for better or for worse, it was a choice.
Yeah, because I think all the deaths are going to be consequential now, because we, we did our whiff one.
Does that answer your question? Thanks.
Hey, thumbs up. I like it. All right.
Nobody knows. I wish if I knew, because then I'd get rich next decade making that TV show, right?
Paul.
Yeah, and then we just all live at your house and do the podcast.
Yeah, it'd be great.
Paul.
Hi, I'm Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi, Paul.
Hi. So I'm a famously petty person, and
me too.
Awesome. Well, you're a Cleveland sports fan, so that makes sense.
Thank you for recognizing that. I feel seen.
I promised I'd give you some grief for being a Cleveland sports fan. That is completely off topic. Sorry, everyone. So, what percentage would you put on George R. R. Martin as he wraps everything up, if he wraps everything up? Is influenced in a petty way by how the show ends.
Yeah.
100%.
Yes. For sure. I mean,
petty
like,
George might be the best George, too.
Well, it's funny because the idea of the show came from like him being like, I'm going to write a book letting me do all the things I can't do on TV. And then now we're all just like, let's guess how this has to end. And so I think he'd love to just spike the punch right at the end. Yeah.
I had one follow-up.
Yeah. Run.
Hashtag Team Joanna. Get it trending.
Hello.
Hey. I have two questions. The first one is, which reunion do you want to see more, Arya and Jon or Arya and Gendry?
Oh.
Which reunion do I want to see more?
Contractually obliged to say Gendry because I will be seeing Mr. Joe Dempsey tomorrow on the stage. I hope you all join us for an intimate conversation. So I got to go Gendry.
As someone who has not been bought and paid for by abs.
Oh, as if Kit Harington is abless.
We don't know that. I'm going with Arya and Jon because I think that's the emotional payoff the show's been setting up since season one. Arya and Gendry is going to be fun when they get on a boat or something. But I feel like there's still work to do with those characters.
How will Tyrion feel about that?
There's still work to do, though, with Arya and Gendry. Theirs is a half story, whereas the journey from point A to point B with Jon and Arya is significant, and they are, you know, closer, I guess.
Here's my inside baseball answer, which is that I'm really excited to make the gif when they reenact, like, Arya, like, leaping, like, around his neck, like she did when she was, like, mm-hmm. little in season one, when they reenact that, because Maisie Williams is still small enough to do that, the side-by-side image is going to be fun.
It's going to be very... It's going to be a gift that a lot of people steal from VanityFair.com.
They tried to do it with Sansa and Jon, and, like, yeah, that worked, but I was like... Ah,
there weren't any good Sansa and Jon moments before that.
These kiddos, yeah. They're none. They never...
No,
we're
with,
on screen
with
together.
Sansa and Jon, it's like, I'm glad you didn't die. Yeah. With Jon and Arya, it's like, holy shit.
Right, but Gendry.
I thought we were never going to see each other.
Absolutely, but the answer is Gendry, but what is your answer?
I'm going to go with Gendry just because, the reason I'm going with Gendry is because that's the one I think they might just not make a big deal out of it. So I'm hoping that they do make a big deal out of it, and then that
she winks
is, like,
at him.
Is the actual moment. Because they could like do something dumb where it's like in the middle of a battle and they like end up back to back and turn like and they're like, oh.
And then they do like the Last Jedi Red Room lightsaber fight.
Except Gendry just throws her. She just takes out her knife and they fastball special everybody.
The second right. question is, how do you feel about the theory of the Hound killing Cersei after he kills the Mountain as being the younger brother?
Well, I think Joanna's still nice Cersei lives.
A nice little twist on the Valonqar. I like it. I'm for it.
Oh, the little brother, yeah.
Yeah, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's a little
I'm
brother.
I'm for it. If you're going to do it that way.
Hi. My question is, what do you think the chances are of Sansa and Tyrion entering into a romantic, lovely marriage that they share?
Listen, Sansa deserves that, right? It's a lovely marriage.
I think most people think she deserves Pod.
I mean, Tyrion, like, I want to want good things for him. He's making a lot of bad decisions. I remember rooting for Tyrion. It was fun, and that show was fun. You know, if Tyrion, like, works out his issues of, like, feeling jealous on boats and realizes that Sansa's a catch, I just want the best for both of them. So if that's a lovely marriage, great. I'm okay with it.
Yes, I would like to see it if it makes political sense. Like, sorry.
On brand.
On brand. If it makes political sense, I'm not sure. But, you know, at this point, we're at a huge war between, like, light and dark, good and evil. So I think if they, like Joanna's saying, if they can find a good place for both of them to do it, I would love for that to still happen.
All right, we'll squeeze in one more question.
Hi.
They're going to kick us out.
All right. To go to your theory, how would you like it if Cersei became the Night Queen?
Oh,
I
shit.
Love it.
I'm so in for that.
I love it.
That's awesome.
She's like working on her armor already. She's ready. She's ready.
I feel like that's like the perfect
yes,
place with a new theory emerging. A new theory emerges.
Yeah.
Stay
tuned.
A new theory emerges.
This is Storm of Spoilers.
Thank you so much for Cersei Night Queen.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much. We are doing a podcast meet and greet immediately after this. The location has changed. It was in the SS room. We have moved it to the bar. So if you will meet us...
Because we're fun.
The bar at the top of the escalators there, that is where we will be hanging out right now.
With other podcasters, too.
And you can meet each other. It'll be great.
Thanks so much, guys.
Thank you, guys.
I don't know the truth.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com, RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.